Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Covetousness is a very subtle, a very deceitful sin. But God is always concerned, first and foremost, not what you do, but the state of your heart.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. How do you feel when you see a friend living in a beautiful house or driving a sleek new car? We've all felt the sting of jealousy and know what it is to covet. Today on The Verdict, we're exploring the 10th commandment and this all-too-common problem of being discontent. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe for a new message he's titled, Don't Covet.
Over the last few weeks, we've been studying the 10 commandments, and today we're thinking of the 10th and the last commandment, you shall not covet. I think all of us would admit that we have coveted. We live in a consumer culture, and we often associate success with having the latest, the most, or the best. You might even think that this is one of the least important of the commandments, but all of the 10 commandments are important, and this one certainly is. Do you always want more? Do you have a sense of entitlement? Are you irritated because others get promoted and you don't? Or perhaps they have a new house or car? Let's listen to this important message on the 10th commandment, you shall not covet.
Do you know how animal trainers sometimes catch monkeys? I'm going to tell you. Monkeys apparently are greedy creatures and can be caught by a mixture of greed and curiosity. The animal trainers place some shiny beads in narrow mouth jars. When the monkeys come upon the jars and see the shiny beads, they put their little paws into the jar and take hold of the beads. But the diameter of their clenched fist is greater than the width of the mouth of the jar, and when they try to take their hand out, clutching the beads, they're unable to do so. The trainers simply come with the catch the monkeys, trapped in the jar, place them in a cage, break the jar, and they've caught another monkey. Now, most of us here are like monkeys. I'm not referring to your personal appearance. But like monkeys, isn't it true that we become fascinated with things, things that are shiny, things that we like? We desire them, we grab them, we take hold of them, and find that we have become imprisoned by them. Today we come to the 10th and the final commandment, which states, you shall not covet. It starts in the nursery. I'm happy with the toy I have until I see that shiny, exciting toy which that other kid has, and now I want what he has. You're happy with your pay raise at work until you hear that a colleague has received a higher raise. One morning, as you're reading the Charlotte Observer, you read that someone you knew at school has become the CEO of a company. It states that the starting salary is $1.5 million plus huge benefits. Now, what's your reaction as you splutter over your cornflakes? Great joy at the success of this individual? Or do you tell your wife, your spouse, your children that you are a far better student than this person? Possibly you rejoice, but possibly, and more likely, you're envious. A friend buys a new home, beautiful new home, and invites you over. The home is absolutely gorgeous, but as you look over the house, you find it rather difficult to be genuinely enthusiastic. Your smile is a little forced, your words rather hollow. And when you get back home to your smaller home, your less expensive home, you look in the mirror. And there, to your surprise, looking right back at you, is a frightening image. The green-eyed monster. What has happened? Covetousness has struck. You have broken the 10th commandment. Now let's read the 10th commandment. It's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Here is the final of the Ten Commandments, and it's a tough one, isn't it? The Lord, in His infinite wisdom, has selected ten of the big ones, as you like, and here is the last one. Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Do you covet your neighbor's house? Any husbands here coveting your neighbor's wife? You find her more attractive, more interesting than your wife that you've been married for some time now to? I realize few, if any of us, have male servants or female servants or oxen or donkeys, but these were the external trappings in that society of wealth and of success. Nowadays, outward success is shown in other ways, by our cars, by our homes, by our possessions, and so on. The command states, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Students, are you envious of students who are more popular than you, more athletic, those who you think are better looking than you are, who wear smarter clothes, who are, quote, cooler than you are? You covet their appearance, their clothes, their friends, their athletic ability, their popularity, their looks, their iPhone. You covet their self-confidence and so on. Be very, very careful. Look in the mirror. Perhaps you're turning into a green-eyed monster. Today I want us to consider first the sin of covetousness. It is a sin. And then the cure of covetousness. But as this is the last of the Ten Commandments, I also want to make a few general comments about the law and sin, which I trust will be helpful. First, let's consider the sin of covetousness, and I want to say three things about the sin of covetousness. First of all, covetousness is a sin of the heart. It is a sin, part of the Ten Commandments, one commandment devoted to this sin, but it is a sin of the heart. It is setting our heart on something or someone that is not rightfully ours. And covetousness reveals the true condition of our hearts. It deals with our inward and secret desires. When we're coveting, those around us are probably totally unaware that we're coveting. You will never be arrested for covetousness. There are no state or federal laws against coveting. You will never be disciplined by a church because of covetousness, because it is a sin hidden in the heart, but a sin nonetheless. The sins of theft, murder, false witness, immorality, these other sins that we've considered as we've gone through the Ten Commandments, they often become known to others, but covetousness is a very subtle, a very deceitful sin. Because it deals not so much with our outward actions as with our inward attitude. But God is always concerned, first and foremost, not what you do, but the state of your heart. And the real problem lies in the heart. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Jesus was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. The Pharisees were concerned with externals. The legalist is always concerned with outward conformity. But Jesus says, wait a minute, hold it. It's what is in the heart. For, verse 21, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, theft, murders, adulteries. Verse 22, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things, notice, coveting is evil. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So covetousness is a very serious sin. It's a sin of the heart. Secondly, covetousness is a sin of dissatisfaction. It's a sin of selfishness. That's why all of us are impacted by this commandment. Naturally, we are selfish people. We covet when we desire to have something that isn't rightfully ours. We covet when we have an inordinate desire for something which belongs to someone else. When we're coveting, we are saying we're not satisfied with what we have. The covetous woman is always longing for more and more, always craving what others have. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence to the covetous person. The covetous person has self at the center of his or her life. Now, you say, well, how would I know if I'm coveting? I think you know, but here are some questions which will help you to discern if you're a covetous person. As we study these sins, we've been learning that it's very easy to deceive ourselves and to say, well, I don't commit this sin. Well, here are some questions to ask yourself. Are you a joyful person? I found in my life that if I'm coveting, if I'm dissatisfied, it's going to rob me of my joy. So I ask you, overall, are you a joyful person? Are you critical and judgmental of others? You're that kind of person. You're a rather critical, judgmental kind of individual. Do you secretly resent when others get on in life? When others do well? Do joyful people bother you? Do they? You say, well, no, we're always happy when other people are happy. No, we're not. Often people would rather be sympathetic to you than rejoice with you. Do you find yourself having some bitterness at some sister or brother in Christ, some colleague, some friend, some individual who has something, is something that you're not? You love to pick at them. You love to snipe at them. You love to speak behind their back, to slander them. If you find yourself saying yes to any extent to some of these questions, let me say that these attitudes and actions are probably evidences of this poison. It is a poison, this poison of covetousness, the green-eyed monster of jealousy. The sin of covetousness is deadly, deadly to healthy personal relationships. You find yourself having difficulty getting on with people. You demean people. You put them down. Or you sometimes say, well, I'm just joking, but you find that your relationships are not what they should be. Can I suggest to you that part of it may be that you're committing the sin of covetousness? This individual that you're putting down, this individual that you're sniping at, may have something, may be more successful in life, may have some ability, some attitude, some friendships that really bother you. It's a sin of selfishness. It's a sin of dissatisfaction. Third, covetousness is a sin which is a spring to other sins. This is why this sin is such a monster. While covetousness always begins with an inner attitude of the heart, it frequently is a springboard to other sins. The person who covets some possession may steal it. The person who is envious of another person's appearance or achievements or abilities may slander him or her or lie about that individual. The person who covets his neighbor's wife may, in fact, that covetousness of a neighbor's wife may lead to immorality, whether in the act, but certainly in the heart. The person who is covetous has gods other than the true and living God. Covetousness, in fact, is idolatry. You say that's a little strong. Well, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is what Paul says. The New Testament is very strong against covetousness. When you think of it, when you're coveting someone or something, you have something or someone between you and God. You are an idolater. Ephesians 5, verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous person who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You know, when you read that, it seems that Paul is putting on the same level the sin of covetousness on the same level as immorality. You say, well, I'm not an immoral person. I've never committed adultery. Well, what about covetousness? Paul says it's idolatry. And those who give themselves to that will not inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. You see, while the sin of covetousness may initially seem to injure no one, it's harmless. After all, if I'm coveting my neighbor's house or car or wife, no one knows about it. If there's no harm done to anyone, well, number one, it harms me. It grieves God. It's a sin. It's going to have a devastating impact on me. But this sin frequently leads to a breaking of the other 9 commandments. Sinful acts, we found, as we've studied the 10 commandments, always begin with sinful desires. Isn't that right? The problem begins, says Jesus, in the heart. Now, what is in the heart is going to be manifested sooner or later through words or actions or attitudes, but the problem begins in the heart. And this is why this commandment is so important. This is why we need to take it so seriously that we ask ourselves, am I guilty of the sin of covetousness? And if so, how can I get rid of it? What is the cure? Ultimately, it leads to self-destruction and death. Listen to Paul in familiar words in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. He says, those who want to get rich. Now, you can be very poor and have nothing and want to get rich. You could be a multimillionaire and still want more riches. This applies to all of us. Covetousness is not dependent on whether you're rich or poor. The poorest person here may be the most covetous. But often people who are very wealthy are also covetous because they want more and more. Paul says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. And in my experience in life, I have met several men, I'm not saying it doesn't apply to women, but certainly I know some men whose goal in life was to be rich, come what may. They were driven, they were going to be rich. To be rich was a sign of success. Now, the scripture says there's nothing wrong in being rich. There's nothing wrong in being a multimillionaire. No, but the problem is, what is your God? What is your goal? What is your love? Verse 10, for the love of money, not money in and of itself, but the love of money, coveting money, wanting more and more, and that becoming an obsession and a priority of my life. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it, we could say coveting it, having an inordinate desire for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. This covetousness, in this case for possessions, can lead to self-destruction and death itself. That is the sin of covetousness. Now, before we consider the cure for covetousness, let us consider just for a few minutes, rather quickly, the function of the law generally and what it does. And to do that, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 7. Paul, in this passage, deals particularly with coveting as an example, but I want to use his remarks to talk about the relationship of the law and sin. We're going to learn 3 things about the law and 2 things about sin. First, 3 things about the law. First, the law defines sin and reveals it. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? We've read the 10 commandments. Are they sin? May it never be. Of course not. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Paul is quoting from Exodus 20, verse 17. He's saying, I wouldn't have known that it was sinful to covet. After all, it's in the heart. Who cares whether you covet or not? I wouldn't have known that this was so serious if it hadn't been that I read in the Ten Commandments that there is a law saying, you shall not covet. Now, before the law, there was sin. Of course there was. But apart from the law, there is no definition of sin. Romans 5, verse 13. For until the law, that is, even before the law, sin was in the world. Was there sin before the Ten Commandments? Of course there was. But sin is not imputed. Sin is not taken into account where there is no law. You see, where there is no law, there can be no breach of it. There can be no violation of it. If you drove to church today and you were speeding, that would not be against the law unless there was a law saying, in this particular stretch of road, you can only drive at 35 miles an hour. If there's no law, there can be no violation of the law, obviously. That is Paul's point. The law then defines sin. The law tells you, this is wrong, this is right. It defines sin and reveals sin. We've learned that the Ten Commandments then are a mirror put in front of us to tell us what we're really like. And just as I don't like looking in the mirror, certainly first thing in the morning, and saying, is that me? Looking more and more like my father. Not a pleasant sight first thing in the morning. Neither do I really like looking in the law of God, because it says, there you are, John, that's you. You're preaching about coveting, but you yourself have coveted. The law is a mirror telling us what we're really like and revealing God's standard. So first, the law defines sin and reveals sin. Secondly, the law stimulates sin. Go back to Romans 7, verse 8. So the law defines sin, it reveals sin. Secondly, the law stimulates sin, verse 8. But sin, now I want you to get this. Sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Now, is the law sinful? Of course not. Verse 12. The law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. No problem with the law. No problem with the Ten Commandments. It's perfect. God's standard is holy, it's righteous and good. Yet the law actually gives us ideas of sinning. Paul is saying in verse 8, such is the deceitfulness of the human heart that the very thing that we're told not to do is the very thing we want to do. We resent our freedom being restricted.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're starting a message on the 10th commandment called Don't Covet. And John has more to share on this relevant topic in just a moment, so keep listening. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast app, search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and choose the subscribe button to have these daily messages delivered automatically. Now, as we near the end of our study on the Ten Commandments, make sure you get your copy of the special resource we've created for our listeners. As a unique addition to this series, we put together an interactive study guide to help you develop a deeper, more personal understanding of God's commandments and their relevance today. This helpful workbook is completely free, and it's easy to download or request by mail when you visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. While you're there, you'll also want to join our monthly email list. Be the first to know about upcoming resources and ministry updates by simply clicking the sign up button on our homepage. Again, that's calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Before we close, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting this ministry. You can join in our effort to share God's word with a financial gift of any amount. And you can make that donation today, wherever you are, when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Be honest. Any covetousness in your life? Do you tend to be a rather selfish, grasping individual? Do you have difficulty sharing what you have with others? Today, I want you to ask the Spirit of God to reveal any signs of covetousness in your heart. Praise God that our Lord Jesus Christ comes to atone on the cross for all of our sins, including the sin of covetousness. And join me next time as we conclude looking at the 10th commandment.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.